The Guardian.
What kind of relationships will we be having with artificial intelligence when it comes to our entertainment and storytelling? You're listening to another episode of Chips with Everything, the digital culture show from The Guardian. I'm Lee Alexander, and I wanted to tell you about something interesting I saw not too long ago. I was at the AI Summit at the London Games Festival. I was speaking there, and two of my colleagues were presenting a demonstration. In this demo, the actress Tallulah Riley, who plays a genteel host on HBO's Westworld, was invited to lead a group dialogue with a real-world AI that's been created by a company called Spirit AI. The demo was called The Interrogation, and in it you ask a damaged android questions about a crime that took place in its lab that it might have information about.
And really, you're sort of trying to find out what happened in this crime scenario.
The scenario is about this robot has been nearby when a murder occurred, but it doesn't have all of its data intact. It has some information.
We're in the studio with Mitu Kandaker, Chief Creative Officer of Spirit AI, and Emily Short, a veteran writer of interactive stories and games. Emily's writing some of the AI at Spirit, and The Interrogation is some of her work.
So as a player, you're trying to kind of elicit what is the important information that you know, and also get a sense of, like, what are the robot's feelings about this? Is it possible that she was responsible? Does she know who was responsible? And it's meant to show off both the kind of narrative beat elements of here's an important moment in the story that somebody has really authored and is delivering that, but then there's a lot of additional information that you can delve into, that she just has a large database of factual knowledge about the world that you can query and kind of find out, okay, You've mentioned this event. Tell me more about that event. Tell me what happened before it. Tell me what happened after it. And so there's this kind of sense of exploring a conversational space, almost the way that you might explore a physical environment in a different type of game.
So while The Interrogation was still in the demo phase, and I think mostly a proof of concept for Spirit AI, it's still really interesting to see how the robot character's demeanor can change if it feels that you're accusing it or if you ask it about someone it likes. A lot about the demo was uniquely plausible. Like, the crime took place at a company that was developing this kind of robot, and if it wasn't always so good at understanding what you wanted, you could chalk it up to the fact it had been damaged in the crime. It was intuitive, whereas interacting with characters in games or things like that often involves picking from a menu or using a very specific list of commands. This kind of thing is especially interesting to me because Emily Short has been one of the most important writers pioneering interactive fiction for a long time. I'm a big fan of hers, and it's really cool for me to hear she's working on AI.
So I've been really interested for over 15 years now in how we bring characters into games where the character feels like they're there for more than just being a blocker or a puzzle or somebody to turn in a quest item to. I want to create characters who give you that sense of, this character has an interiority, I have a relationship to this NPC, I might owe them something, I might offend them, I might hurt their feelings, or I might make them happy. It doesn't have to be a negative interaction. So that's an area that I've been exploring since about 2000 in different ways, and developing, how do we model conversation? How do we model the way that people react to us? But what I found over the course of, you know, many years of working in this space is that as an author, what I want to be able to do is lay down some guidelines about, this is the kind of thing this character would say, and this is the kind of thing this character would react to. But as an author, I can't anticipate every single possible interaction that would be a good improvisation of that character. So what we're working on now with Character Engine is creating something that kind of fills in those spaces between the authored intention for the character and the sort of surprise input that the player brings in.
Character Engine is the name of this specific Spirit AI product that Emily and Mitu are working with that powers The Interrogation demo. They actually have another AI product called Ally, which we'll discuss in a bit. When we come back, let's find out more about how artificial intelligence can create fictional people you'd actually enjoy talking to. We're in the studio with Mitu Kandaker and Emily Short, who are working on an AI character engine designed to power fictional people that act and interact a little bit more like the real ones do. If you're a fan of interactive fiction like I am, this is everything you like about textual, authored experiences, but with the spark of new life evolving behind it. Emily Short explains.
So I started a couple of decades ago writing a type of computer game that was already at that time at least a decade and a half old, which is to say interactive fiction, text adventures, popularized in the 80s by Infocom and by some other companies, where the player types what they want to do. So it might be, you know, pick up this object, go north, check my inventory. And the appeal for me about this type of game, as well as just the nostalgia of, you know, I played these a lot when I was a kid and I loved them. But part of the appeal was it's a fully textual environment that the player is interacting with. And so your limitations as a game developer are anything that you can write about, you can put in front of the player, and you don't have to be limited to, can I animate this? Can I draw it? Can I make a soundtrack for it? I didn't have any of those skills. I could only write. So I was really drawn into, you know, how do we let people interact with these sort of textual spaces, and how do we let people interact with textual characters? One of my first games was a piece called Galatea, where there is a character who is a statue who's been brought to life, and you're having a conversation with this character, and that's the entire game. Just what you say to her, what she says back. There are certain things that you can see in the environment that you might want to tell her about that are going to make her feel a certain way. So you can decide, like, oh, I'll tell her that or I won't. And there are 40, 50, 60 different endings to that game, depending on, you know, what you say to her and how she reacts to you, whether you develop an emotional rapport with her, or whether you're mean to her, all those kinds of things.
But even decades ago, Emily Short's Galatea, which you can still play today, we'll drop a link for you in the show notes. You really should check it out. It remains quite sophisticated. Even then, it provoked a really strong reaction, a lot of identification from players.
People really strongly reacted to that piece, and I got a lot of both positive and negative mail about it. I had people who, you know, sent me fan art. There was somebody who actually wrote like an entire piece of music and had it performed by an orchestra that was inspired by Galatea, which was really, really cool. But then also people writing me email like, you know, this character is an example of everything that's wrong with women today. Like, it was really a bizarre spectrum of responses that I got to that. But it also kind of confirmed, like, there is really something here, right? There is something that people are really drawn to about being able to develop an emotional connection with a simulated character.
Now, Emily says, AI technology and natural language processing can enable creators to be more sophisticated about what players can say and what the system can understand.
So in Galatea, you're only allowed to ask about keywords, basically. You can say, you know, what is this? Or say, I want to talk about this keyword, and that's it. And she doesn't have any ability to kind of take in multiple keywords or work with context beyond kind of that level of input. And then from the output side, every single line that she says has been pre-written exactly as she says it. She doesn't have an ability to kind of change those things up or recombine them in any way. And then just as an authoring process, it was also a very laborious piece of coding, because what I was doing was going through and for every single thing that she said, marking a little flag to remember that she said it. I was not particularly good at coding at the time that I wrote it. So it's a very, you know, kind of clunky, hard to build piece of work. And so basically there have been progress on all of those fronts. So progress in terms of, can we understand more sophisticated input from the player? Can we let them express both a question that, you know, here's what I want to hear about, but also emotional inputs, like, I'm going to say this in a friendly way or a rude way. There's been progress on the authoring side of just having much better tools and much better ways of kind of remembering what topics of conversation have we already hit, what's already been explained to the player, how might we kind of reform what's available. And then on the output side, things like being able to recombine pieces of speech to make new utterances that are really specifically appropriate to the exact interaction that you're currently having. And then being able to do what was also completely unavailable to me in 2000, to do text-to-speech with that and have an actually voiced utterance in response.
And if you can just talk to a character or to an AI, theoretically, it'll end up being a new and accessible way to enjoy a story or to play a game without the step of trying to figure out how you do it, or what you type or what you press.
People are interested in people. You know, we all carry around a sort of social model of the world, right? We know what it is to relate to other people, and we have things that we might sort of try to do, or things or ways that we think that people will behave. So I think firstly, if you're sort of experimenting with that in a game context, sort of people have like an in to be able to do that, right? Whereas they might not want to necessarily, or, you know, or be able to relate to a scenario where you're, I don't know, where you're like shooting people, right? Which is the thing that happens a lot in games I've experienced. So I think that firstly, I think more games about people are accessible. It's been sort of seen just through the history of things like chatbots. Like, people are really sort of ready to buy into the fiction of these things, right? So if you look at Eliza, the very first chatbot, you know, it was created by Joseph Weizenbaum as kind of a sort of commentary you know, he was an MIT professor who wanted to sort of build this commentary about a certain type of therapy, right? And also about our tendency to just accept what the computer tells us,
what
right?
What do you want to know about our tendency to accept what the computer tells us?
And so he built this, you know, the very first chatbot, which was Eliza, who is, you know, simulating a therapist. And he just found that his secretary was just immediately drawn to it. And she was just confessing all of her secrets to it and treating it as if it was real. And I think we tend to do that, right? We tend to want to sort of personify things. We tend to want to believe that things do understand us. And so we have this tendency to do that with characters.
As Mittu says, the first thing lots of people do when they get their hands on a new system is to try to break it. It's a sort of personal test we kind of reflexively subject AI to see if we can believe it enough.
One of the things about the system we're building is that our goal, at least, is to help it be harder to find the edges, right? With Eliza, you know, you could broadly see there were two types of players. There were the players who bought into it and then the players who tried to break Eliza. And I think that people who play a lot of games tend to fall into that latter category, right? And I think that with our system, if you do try to sort of find the edges, as it were, we want it to surprise you in interesting ways, right? We want it to be able to actually respond in a more meaningful way.
The AI space is interesting to Emily because it opens up far more possibilities for storytelling when some of the traditional limits on character interactions are lifted.
I think there are whole ranges of plot that you can't meaningfully have unless you're able to interact with a character. And there are lots and lots of stories out there to be told that really require the foregrounding of an interaction with one or more other people to even have that story happen. And there are all sorts of things that games have very cleverly done to portray interpersonal stories through backstory and diaries and recordings and all of this kind of thing. But the kind of experience that you can have with the immediacy of other characters who are responding to you is something that there's a whole range of possible genres there that we just haven't seen yet. And I'm very excited to see what's in that space.
She says people find it powerful just to be able to get a reaction, a real and exciting reaction to anything they want to do.
If you go on YouTube, you will see all of these videos of people sneaking up behind their cats and leaving a cucumber on the floor behind the cat. And the cat, when it turns around, it thinks there's a snake and it jumps like sideways in the most alarming way. And it's a really mean thing to do to your cat. You should, in fact, not do that to a cat. But that desire to, like, let me get what I read as an emotional response out of another entity is really, really powerful. And I think being able to create characters where this character is capable of convincingly getting shocked or angry or excited or sad. Like, that's a really juicy moment to have with any kind of non-human.
Mittu Kandaker has also been involved in socially intelligent game design for a while now. In an earlier game she made, which is called Redshirt, you are part of a huge cast of characters on a space station, which doesn't necessarily enable the kind of deep one-on-one interaction-based storytelling that we're talking about here, but you do feel like you're part of a group ecosystem, and as such, you're sort of part of a larger social narrative.
And the meaning that you get comes from noticing the differences between the characters. And I think with a system like ours, the thing I'm really excited about is being able to create systems where you not only notice the difference between lots of different characters, but then you can then dive in and actually interrogate characters more deeply, find out more about them. So another game in that particular genre that I like to point to is Papers, Please. Papers, Please is definitely one of my favorite games. If anyone isn't familiar with it, it's a game about being a border security guard for a fictional Eastern European bloc country. And you are basically the one who is making the decision about whether or not people get to cross the border. And so you're just processing lots and lots of people all the time. And all you see of them is what they present to you. So, you know, their appearance, their documents, etc. And you've got to try and decide whether or not they should be allowed into this country. And the mechanics of that game really come from noticing, you know, just all these different streams of people, like all these people coming one after another. And I think, you know, just imagining a version of Papers, Please, where actually you get to sort of really have a conversation with them, right? I think that's kind of the dream in many ways. Yeah.
I think there's a really powerful mechanical message in that, which is it says, you know, every single person that you interact with has full depth. And that's something that's true in the real world, but we're not always good at recognizing.
Yeah.
But could be true in games as well.
Of course, talk about the wider implications of AI and natural language technology is going on everywhere right now. I think a lot about the potential that this kind of intuitive, emotive technology might eventually have to affect, both positively and negatively, the way we think about people in the real world.
It's really to do with the application. If we are promoting in our games, in interactions with simulated characters around us, if we're really sort of promoting interacting with these characters in a really considered way, then yes, you can definitely see how that promotes empathy, right? It's not just, oh, hey, information receptacle, give me information, right? I think that, yes, that is absolutely possible. But the thing that I sometimes worry about is if we know that the world is full of sort of simulated characters, does that cause us to devalue it? Devalue them in some way, right? And maybe it doesn't, but maybe it does depend on the actual application.
Well, anything that is the default gets devalued in any context. So, I mean, I think there's, you know, once you get a particular kind of standard AI behavior, then that's going to be, you know, the basic bot, and everybody's going to look down on that, I think.
Yeah.
Based on what humanity is like in general, there will be both wonderful and horrible results. Like, I don't like I don't think it's going to sway just one way on that.
But largely, these writers and designers see the potential for AI to make meaningful interventions, not only inside the worlds of games and stories, but in the communities around them as well. In addition to the character engine, Spirit AI is designing a system, or a character really called Ally, whose job is to step in during situations of online harassment.
All these AI buzzwords, big data analysis, etc., to actually look for instances of when people might be in trouble within a game and if people are being victimized within a game or out of a game. But also what we're doing is intervening. And so we have a character which can step in and just check in with somebody who we think might be being abused in some way. So they can just check in and ask, hey, are you okay? I noticed this other person was saying something potentially problematic to you. And then our system can go ahead and learn from your preferences. Through doing that, hopefully what we're creating is a system where it just leads to better communities, because we're taking on the burden of human labor in some ways. And in this case, it is about the emotional labor that community moderators often have to do.
When technology and imagination intersect, it tends to be unexpectedly fraught. As our guests Emily Short and Mitu Kandaker of Spirit brought up today, people can experience very strong reactions, whether they're in, let's say, a Westworld fan group or immersed in a designed interactive story themselves. It's really interesting to think about the role that artificial intelligence is going to play in that ecosystem, isn't it? That's all from us this week at Chips with Everything, the digital culture podcast from The Guardian. I'm your host, Lee Alexander. My producer is Ian Chambers. Thank you so much to all our guests and to you for joining us. You can subscribe to this and other great Guardian shows on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app. And if you liked what you heard today, please give us a quick rating and review. It helps people discover us. This ain't no gadget show. If you've got a tech culture story for us, get in touch at guardianships.com. We'd love to hear stories from your sojourns through digital society. Catch you next week.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.